heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And welcome back to another week of Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are presented to you today by SeatGeek and their fantastic SeatGeek app for your smartphone, which is easy to use and allows you to join the fray at the field house for home games or catch the Pacers on the road. So check it out. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and today's episode, we'll look back at the discouraging weekend for the Pacers with back-to-back losses to the Nets and Bulls. And we'll kind of try to assess the problem areas over the weekend, which were many at times. And they, in general, I guess, the big ones included point guard play, defense, and rebounding. that's not a good list. So after that, we'll look ahead to the Pacers' schedule this week, see if they can get better with a couple of home games and one on the road as the regular season gets rolling at full steam. So don't forget, you can hit me up with any comments or questions. Love to hear from you. Email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. All right, so the Pacers didn't take long to wash away that feel-good home opener on last Wednesday with a pair of really discouraging losses over the weekend. First on Friday, they dropped the game to the Nets that they seemed to control throughout, took a 7-point lead into the fourth quarter before Jeremy Lin, Brooke Lopez, and noted killer Sean Kilpatrick took the Nets home for a win. Now, I guess it'd be kind to call Kilpatrick a journeyman at this point. He hasn't played more than 40 NBA games, and he's 26. It's been a journey to get to the NBA, but it looks like he's going to get 82 games in this year with the Nets if he keeps that up. But he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter, and as the Pacers were letting things slip away, they couldn't stop him or Lin, and everything just went south down the stretch. So they had a chance to win, couldn't get it done. Now in Chicago, things went south a lot earlier. In fact, with the first reserve rotation, after hanging around in the first quarter with the starting unit, Pacers fell behind in a hurry, and the Bulls just seemed to overwhelm the Pacers and eventually had a 29-point lead in the fourth quarter before McMillan just put a young group of bench players out there, and they did a good job of mopping up the game and cut the deficit down a little bit, but the game was definitely over at that point. So, you know, losing to the Bulls in Chicago under the circumstances isn't too hard to fathom, you know, especially second night of a back-to-back, and both, you know, a couple of key issues. Rodney Stuckey and Aaron Brooks were both unavailable. Stuckey played about 4 minutes in Brooklyn before he had a violent reaction to a hamstring. Now, he's listed as questionable this week. Well, I guess they'll probably have further diagnosis probably by Monday afternoon and know how severe the injury is. I'd be hard-pressed to think he's going to be able to play this week just from the reaction to a hamstring and the way those things take time to recover so you don't continually re-injure it. And what did Stuckey have to do last year but deal with a foot injury that he could never quite get better before coming back? And I'm sure he doesn't want to go through that process again and would rather be fully ready to go before returning again. But without those two, the reserve unit is completely struggling. They're struggling to score points. You knew they were going to be a tough defensive unit as it was, and that is definitely the case. I think one issue as well is with Glenn Robinson III and Joe Young, they just haven't been quite assertive enough yet, and maybe now that they're getting more and more minutes, they might improve. But after, you know, such a brutal loss in Brooklyn, let's face it, you know, you're supposed to beat the Mets no matter where you play them, and dumping that one this early into the season when you would think energy and effort wouldn't be a problem was really bad. And then to come back and add the ugly loss in Chicago, where, you know, the defense just looks inept at times, it just compounds the issues. And I know there's a lot of hand-wringing going on in social media and on Indy Cornrows with the commenters, and it's something that, you know, the Pacers are going to have to get home and get fixed. Now, you know, for a little bit of context here, let's remember that last season the Pacers lost their first three games, including getting embarrassed in that third game at home by the Utah Jazz, 97-76. So I recall similar feelings of a season gone awry already after three games last year. And then the Pacers flipped it around and won 12 of their next 14 games. So things can change in a hurry. And obviously I don't expect this team to win 12 of the next 14 the way things are going. But with six more games remaining on that initial nine-game stretch to start the season, which I thought was a real favorable schedule, they still have time to kind of flip things around and get some positive momentum going. I know there was a story about the easiest schedule in the NBA for the first 10 games, and the Pacers literally have the easiest schedule. I would cut it off at 9. That 10th game against Boston isn't going to be that easy. The next 12 after that is, again, I've mentioned it, going to be brutal. Warriors twice, Clippers twice, at OKC. You got Cleveland in there, as I mentioned, Boston. So it's going to be really tough to maintain any momentum after this early start. But a lot of those games are at home, and the Pacers are definitely a better team at home. So they got to just start figuring things out. As far as the, you know, the big ticket items hurting the Pacers, rebounding and defense are just something that before the season we knew were going to be an issue, and they have been an issue. You know, when you're trying to play a faster pace, and the Pacers kept pace decent in Brooklyn, but then they were very slow compared to the past two games in Chicago. But, you know, when you're pulling the ball out of the net, that keeps the Pacers from pushing the pace. And, you know, the pace was down to 95 possessions per 48 minutes in Chicago. And that is not going to cut it with this team. So the other issue, rebounding, the Bulls had a plus 14 rebound advantage. Against the Nets, it was only plus 3, but Pacers aren't going to make a lot of three-pointers. They can't lose that rebounding edge and give the other team more possessions when they need the ball to push the pace and get more shots up. So all those things mix up and create a bad formula for the Pacers to try and win games. So the other issue, obviously, is health. And as I mentioned, Stuckey getting hurt early in the Nets game certainly didn't help. But it also is exposing some depth issues here. You know, during the preseason and before the season, when everybody's talking glowingly about all these guys working out and putting all the work in and getting ready for a great season, it seemed like there may be some guys who were going to get left out of the playing rotation that would normally earn a spot, particularly Glenn Robinson III, Joe Young, among those guys. Well, they've been getting ample opportunity now with the injury issues and the way these games have gone, where McMillan's trying to find something to work and giving these guys plenty of opportunity. And Joe Young in particular has been a problem just because he's having to play a critical role as a reserve point guard, and he hasn't been as assertive as he'd like. Really was a stark contrast in the Chicago game, and as things were going south for the Pacers, they were having trouble getting buckets. There were times where it looked like Young could have had an open shot or pushed to create a shot for himself and just didn't appear to be interested in doing that, was kind of trying to be a system guy and get other people going, where he may have to be that guy. He's a scorer. The guy can score, and if he's going to be pressed into action, you got to use your best attributes out there, and that's scoring. Now, once the game was over and McMillan put that young lineup in, both Robinson and Young looked pretty good late in the game. It at least made it worth watching to the end. And so to compare, Young was 0-for-1 in the first half when he's playing some critical minutes, and then late in the game he got the garbage time mojo going and finished with 11 points. So if you want to stretch and take a positive from that, maybe he finds a little confidence from getting those buckets at the end of the game and playing a little more freely. He can see that on tape. Maybe he can see the difference that I noticed and take that with him the first time he gets out there as opposed to during garbage time. And with the way Brooks' knee situation is, it seems like Young is probably going to be pressed into action at least off and on for the near future. So that's kind of a critical component. And the other thing with that second unit, with Al Jefferson in there, and then the young guys and everything not flowing real well, you don't have Stecky attacking, they take some time to get the buckets up. They're not going to be able to run at a fast pace. And the other issue with that as well is stopping the other team from scoring, which has been a big disadvantage for the Pacers, especially in these last two games. So I have a feeling, George Niang has gotten some minutes out of desperation. I have a feeling McMillan's going to be shaking things up quite a bit with a couple days off to try and find something that will click and help support a starting unit that has played pretty well for the most part, other than some bad stretches from Jeff Teague, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But again, McMillan's going to be mixing and matching, looking for something to work, assuming that the team will be without Stecky and Brooks on Tuesday against the Lakers. Both are listed as questionable for now. I'm sure there will be a more thorough report on their health coming out on Monday afternoon. But if you want to go see the Pacers for yourself against the new look Lakers, make sure you find the best deal on tickets by using the SeatGeek app. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the Fieldhouse for the biggest games of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket at the Fieldhouse, wherever you want to sit, whether courtside, club level, or in the upper deck. So, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I actually used it a couple weeks ago when I was in Seattle to go to a UW football game. Got me some great seats down low, and it was a perfect day out in Seattle, and it worked out great. And it's so easy to use. You just load up. I'm going to do it right now. In fact, pop open the app, punch in Pacers Lakers game pops up. Boom. All right, so let's check out the deals, at least of right now, for Tuesday. You can get seats for $9 in the upper deck. Best deal pops up, $55 in section 7 down low. Now that is definitely a bargain. And, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal for every ticket because SeatGeek compares prices for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest price available. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by 100% guarantee. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. The big green blobs on those SeatGeek maps will show you where the best deals are. So another great thing now that they're sponsoring Locked On Pacers, for my listeners, you get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So to get the $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and add a promo code. Enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all one word, LOPACERS. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So please download the app and get some money back. Okay, so our next topic is back to point guard play, and in particular, the struggles of Jeff Teague over the weekend. Teague made just 2 of 20 shots, and after earning 13 free throws attempts in the home opener, he didn't go to the line once in either game. So he continues to struggle keeping his matchup from getting in the lane and burning the Pacers as well. So the Pacers are kind of getting burned at both ends with his current play. And, you know, this isn't the Teague we saw light up the Pacers in Atlanta. And actually, I got an email from listener Joe Betts who brings up an issue I've been seeing and reading at various places around the internet, social media. He asked a question. Much is being made of Teague's poor performance in the two losses, with some even pointing to potential injury recovery issues. Are you worried Teague may have an off season similar to Ellis last season, each entering their new season with a new team coming off minor, though always significant knee injury? Yes, that is a definite worry, Joe, about Teague's knee issue. And I think Joe also mentioned he thinks that it might be more of a chemistry fatigue issue than injury related. But for me, you know, that the stability of his knee is definitely a concern, if not just right now as far as acute pain or acute issues. It also kept him from working out as normal during the summer, also kept him from playing with his teammates like during August. So it was a while before he got back on the floor, so that is a factor. He's also having trouble, though, fighting through screens and really putting that fellow screen roll defender in a bind. And it just doesn't look like he's moving as you would expect. But he has, you know, at least in the first game, and even in Brooklyn, with the ball at least, he's been able to get in the lane. He just missed a few good shots in Brooklyn, but 3-point shot hasn't been there. He's going to struggle to get over 20% after missing all these threes to start the season. And basically, he couldn't be off to much of a worse start with the Pacers. And, I mean, he was bad enough in Brooklyn that McMillan took him out over the final 4 minutes of the game. But unfortunately, that went, the damage was kind of done, and they weren't able to come back. So, again, 3 games into the season, you know, we'll see how he reacts after a couple of days off. But it does make you wonder what other issues pop into your head, like why didn't the Pacers try to extend Teague before the season? Like a lot of people thought they may. I always kind of figured maybe Teague was betting on himself to have a big year, but maybe the Pacers wanted to see how his knee would respond during the season. So, needless to say, the fact that I'm thinking about that already after 3 games is not a good thing. But, you know, to answer Joe's question, I think the knee health is definitely an issue. Even if it isn't bothering him physically, you know, the impact on the preparation surely didn't help. But let's see another 10, 15 games before we go into full panic mode here. And that goes for just about everybody across the board, as they should have some games here to get better on, and then some good challenges coming up on the schedule, which will give us a lot more clear picture of what we have in store this year. So one other quibble I had over the weekend after the Bulls lost, you know, both Nate McMillan and Paul George talked about the team still trying to come together, you know, chemistry issues, figuring things out. But, you know, they say this after getting bounced by a Bulls team that has 3 new starters of their own. So, obviously, they had figured out some of those things well enough to put it on the Pacers. I do agree with McMillan on the bench chemistry. It's a problem without 2 key guys that they thought would be in the rotation, and then other guys stepping into new roles that they haven't played before. And he's trying about every combination to see if something will work, but nothing is cooking so far, and that obviously is a major issue. So to finish with some positive from the play this weekend. You know, Paul George is still Paul George playing as expected, although he wasn't as active in Chicago. And, you know, that second game of the back-to-back is an excuse, which he mentioned, even though he didn't want to mention any excuses. And Miles Turner had 20 points in Chicago and a double-double in Brooklyn. So that was a good way to back up his monster debut at home and definitely make himself continue to be a big factor in that lineup. So speaking of home, the Pacers will play the Lakers on Tuesday in the Lakers' only visit to the Fieldhouse this season. Will certainly be weird not having the Kobe circus come to town, but I watched the Lakers against the Rockets, and yeah, they have an interesting team with some, you know, they have good young players with D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, and added some vets to go in there. You know, Luol Deng and Mozgov look good, and they have a decent little team building up there with those young guys, and we're actually kind of entertaining to watch, you know, compared to last year when Kobe kind of clogged things up, even though he wasn't quite the player he used to be. So I think maybe now these young guys are free to spread their wings a little bit, and that makes them a lot more fun to watch, that's for sure. So for the rest of the week, the Pacers travel to Milwaukee on Thursday to face the Bucks. Then they return to the Fieldhouse on Saturday to play the Bulls once again. Oh, that could be painful. Let's hope there's not too much red in the Fieldhouse. And hopefully the Pacers will show up with a far better effort this time around. So make sure you use your SeatGeek app to add some more blue and gold at the Fieldhouse. And thanks again to SeatGeek for sponsoring the show today. And remember, download SeatGeek app, enter promo code LOPACERS today for a $20 rebate. All right, thanks for listening. Love to hear your thoughts on the Pacers so far. Hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And don't forget, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes, where all prior episodes are available. So check it out. We're also closing in on adding it through Stitcher and Google Play. So stay tuned for that. Okay, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.